I thank God for all who have led us in worship today. I do want to take a brief moment to say how thankful I am for all the musicians who have led us in worship over the past 15 months. And I would like to say how thrilling it is to see our choir back in the loft this morning. What a blessing. We are so grateful. We're in a sermon series called Holistic Missions. Next week, we'll begin a sermon series on healing stories in the Gospels that we'll be going through this summer. We're very excited about that. But today, we'll conclude our sermon on holistic missions. We've been looking at various dimensions of the mission that God has given us as Christian people. Today, I want to draw your attention to a famous passage in Matthew chapter 25. I'll read verses 31 through 46 from the New Revised Standard Version. These are the words of Christ. And the title of my sermon is VIP. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep at His right hand and the goats at the left. Then the King will say to those at His right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the King will answer them, "Truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Let us pray. Lord God, in this preaching moment, I simply ask that you would help me to speak your word. Help them to hear your word. And Lord, help us all to do your word. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. A limousine rounds a corner in L.A. The woman in the back is wearing a Gucci dress and texting her agent. When the car stops, she steps out onto the red carpet and cameras flash. Sounds like she is a VIP. In a penthouse suite at the Waldorf Astoria, there's a $1,200 bottle of wine on the table. A Fortune 500 executive enjoys a filet prepared by one of the finest chefs in New York City. Sounds like he is a VIP. There's a podium beneath a chandelier in D.C., a dignified woman speaks into the microphone and reporters pepper her with questions. Sounds like she is a VIP. A man with a guitar steps into the spotlight, and the crowd roars. With every inflection of his voice, the cheers swell as if he's a modern-day Elvis. Sounds like he is a VIP, a very important person. It seems that VIPs are influential, talented, beautiful, and famous. They are well known and widely admired. They have the blue check mark by their Instagram. They have the front row at the theater. They have the luxury box at the stadium. They get VIP treatment, including the finest foods, the fanciest clothes, the most luxurious accommodations, and on and on and on. We may think we understand what makes for a VIP, but Jesus suggests a different point of view. According to Jesus, we've got the VIP thing all wrong. According to Jesus, it's the people who seem least significant that are actually most significant. It's the people who seem least important that are really most important. Let me explain. On Judgment Day, Jesus will separate people like a shepherd separates sheep from goats. Whoever has given food to the hungry, drink to the thirsty, clothing to the naked, care to the sick, and visits to prisoners will inherit eternal life. Whoever has not will be condemned to eternal punishment. Of course, Christ does not desire for anyone to end up in hell. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, not human beings. Nevertheless, on the last day, Christ will pound his gavel and execute righteous judgment. He will send some to eternal life, and others he will cast away from God's presence. Jesus is saying that our eternal destiny is tied to how we treat people that lack food, shelter, and clothing. He is also saying that however we treat the poor, the stranger, the prisoner, and the hungry is how we treat him, the Lord and Savior of the world. Just as you did it to one of the least of these, he says, you did it to me. I know movie stars have fashionable lifestyles. I know dignitaries have considerable influence. I know entertainers have phenomenal talents. But if our eternal salvation is tied to how we treat people who are destitute, sick, and imprisoned, then they are the truly important ones. To put it simply, the least of these are the real VIPs. Jesus does not say that how we treat the destitute matters a great deal to him. He says that how we treat the destitute is how we treat him. If we steer clear of people in need and pretend like they don't exist, we steer clear of Jesus and pretend like he doesn't exist. If we show half-hearted concern for people in need, we show half-hearted concern for Jesus. If we serve people in need on special occasions and at Christmas time, we serve Jesus on special occasions and at Christmas time. But if we spend our life seeking and serving persons in need, we spend our life seeking and serving Jesus Christ. We cannot yawn or shrug our shoulders at this scripture. Nor can we raise our eyebrows and just turn the page real quick. This is the third and final parable in Matthew 25 about how to be ready for the final judgment. This is the climax of Jesus' teaching on how to prepare for judgment day. And it's the only detailed picture of the final judgment in the entire New Testament. This text demands our keenest attention. According to this passage, however we treat the prisoner is how we treat the King of Kings. However we treat the hungry is how we treat the Son of God. However we treat the stranger is how we treat the Savior. However we treat the lowly is how we treat the Lord Most High. However we treat the least significant people in society's eyes is how we treat the most significant person ever to walk the earth. The question arises, does this scripture contradict the doctrine of salvation by grace through faith? Does this scripture teach that we earn our way to heaven by doing good deeds, that we merit entrance into eternal life by doing good things for people in need, instead of the great doctrine that salvation is a gift God gives that we receive by faith? Actually, I think this text confirms that saving faith produces good deeds. As Titus 2 says, God's grace brings salvation that makes us zealous for good deeds. As Galatians 5 says, our faith expresses itself in love for other people. As James 2 says, faith without works is dead. And the works James is talking about there are works like giving clothing and food to people in need, which is exactly what Jesus is talking about. In light of other scriptures, then, Matthew 25 does not teach that serving the poor saves us. It teaches that serving the poor is a key indicator of saving faith. If our faith has not produced good deeds for folks who are hungry, thirsty, sick, or imprisoned, we might need to check the authenticity of our Christianity. In seeking to apply this scripture in my own life, one thing that has frustrated me is, how do I know that the person seeking help from me is not swindling me and playing me for a fool? I remember during the first month I ever served as pastor of a church, it was in the summer of 2004. I got a call at the church office one day from a woman in the community requesting assistance with her electric bill. When I met her at the power company with a check from the church, she pulled up in a pretty sweet Trans Am. I was driving a 1993 Saturn with 150,000 miles on it. And I have to tell you, in that moment, I did wonder to myself if this woman genuinely, honestly needed that financial assistance. Serving people in need can be an uncertain project with few assurances. Yet we who worship a God of grace are not called to distinguish between who deserves help and who doesn't deserve help. I'm sure glad God doesn't operate based on what we deserve, for none of us deserve God's incredible love. None of us deserve God's amazing grace, and yet God gives it to us anyhow. How could we close our hand to neighbors in need on the grounds that they don't deserve help when we ourselves have been beneficiaries of God's grace? Of course, we don't want to enable people to continue in damaging patterns of life that are hurtful to themselves and other people. We don't want to become enablers in that sense. But since God offers us grace, we offer others grace. It seems to me that Christians can sometimes become discouraged in our efforts to assist people in need because we feel helpless to provide a permanent solution. But notice that Jesus does not call us to fix everything. As the ancient preacher John Chrysostom observed, Jesus does not say, "I was sick and you healed me." He says, "I was sick and you visited me." Jesus does not say, "I was in prison and you got me out." He says, "I was in prison and you came to me." Jesus does not call us here to fix everything for persons in need. He calls us to extend care. Notice further that Jesus commands us to supply concrete goods such as food, drink, shelter, and clothing. Even if some that request help are swindling us, we can hardly go wrong by offering food and clothing. Everybody needs food and clothing. God loves every person, as Scripture assures us, and every person is vitally important to God. Yet today, Jesus is calling us to remember who the real VIPs are. It can be hard to remember in the course of our daily lives because Jesus' teachings are backwards. They're upside down. They're counterintuitive and countercultural. But if we keep Scripture in mind and prayerfully remain open to the Holy Spirit's leading, God will remind us about the VIPs. Several years ago, when I was pastoring a downtown church in another state, I was walking down the church hall one night between evening meetings, and a woman came in the door right off the street and greeted me. She explained that she had nowhere to stay for the night and asked if the church might be able to help her. This happened with some frequency at that church, being located downtown, and the church had a fund specifically for helping people with things like emergency shelter. So later that evening, I and another church member were standing with this woman in a hotel lobby trying to get her a room for the night. Now, this wasn't the fanciest hotel in town, but it was nice. In fact, this hotel used to be the premier hotel in the whole area. It had just become dated since then. Well, when we paid the bill at the desk, the man reached out to hand us a room key that said the number 208 on it. But he stopped short and he smiled and he said, "Wait just a minute." And he reached down under the desk and pulled out this big three-ring binder and set it up on the counter, and he flipped the pages and got to a certain place and he turned it around so we could see it, and he pointed. And I looked in there, and it was a newspaper article, a clipping from the 1970s about the time Elvis Presley played a concert in that town. Now, I'd heard about this before from some of the longtime locals. You know, Elvis played here once. And I smiled as I saw the headline and the first couple of sentences. And the man behind the counter said, "Do you know Elvis?" I said, "Of course I know Elvis." He said, "Elvis stayed at this hotel the night he played the Murphy Center. And he stayed in room number 208. I turned to the woman with a big smile on my face and I said, "Tonight, you're going to be staying in the same hotel room that Elvis Presley once stayed in." And she said, "Wow, I don't know what God is doing here." I can tell you one thing I know God was doing. God was reminding me that this woman is a VIP. According to Jesus, the VIP is not the one enjoying a choice steak, but the one whose stomach churns with hunger. The VIP is not the one in a designer dress, but the one who has no warm coat for the winter. The VIP is not the one sipping fine wine, but the one who needs drinking water. The VIP is not the rock star in the spotlight, but the person who needs a place to stay for the night. Church, let us serve the real VIPs consistently, conscientiously, and lovingly, for in doing so, we serve Jesus Christ. Christ is mystically present in the face of the poor, the sick, the prisoner, and the stranger. And when we serve VIPs, we serve Christ. When we honor VIPs, we honor Christ. When we love VIPs, we love Christ. Whatever we do for VIPs, we do for Christ Himself. And on Judgment Day, we'll be glad we did. We will be quite glad indeed, for I imagine Jesus will look into our eyes and say, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Amen.